It would be so easy to treat a stopover as an inconvenience. It would be simple to picture yourself in your final destination, a place like England or Italy or the US, and just want to get there as quickly as possible. You could hate the idea of stepping off the plane for even a few hours. Or you could embrace it. Done right, a stopover is a fine thing. It's a couple of days somewhere different. It's a way to add a whole new dimension to your holiday, to take your European adventure or your American dream and add a little bit of Asia to it, or a touch of the Middle East, or a little slice of island paradise. When you think about it, it makes complete sense. Hi, I'm Ben Groundwater, and you're listening to Flight of Fancy, the traveller.com.au podcast. Today, we're talking stopovers, the good, the bad, and the unnecessary. We're telling you where best to take a break on your next long-haul journey and the experiences that you'll love during your stay. We're talking about places like Singapore, Dubai, Bangkok, Hawaii, Auckland, and many more. And of course, I can't do this alone, which is why I'm joined today by two travellers who've been there, done that, and written a story about it. The first is a writer for traveller.com.au, who you may also know as the tripologist, Michael Gabicki. Hi, Michael.
Hi, Ben.
Welcome.
Thank you.
Also, making her Flight of Fancy debut today, she's a travel writer who's been to more than 60 countries and describes herself as a natural sticky beak, Kerry van de Yacht. Hey, Kerry.
Hi, Ben. How are you?
Good. Thank you. Welcome. Nice to have you guys on board.
Thank you.
Now let's get straight to it. Michael, do you like stopovers?
I love stopovers.
Do you really?
Yeah. I really do. I don't get to do them very often, I must say, because I mean, often you're in a hurry to get to a place.
Yeah. You're in a hurry to get to a place.
Yeah, unfortunately. Yeah. And so it doesn't come up very often. But when I get the chance, I'm kind of choosy about where I want to go.
Yeah.
But if it's the right place, yeah. Definitely, right. I like it. I'm all for it.
Absolutely. How about you, Kerry?
Yeah, I'm with Michael there. I absolutely love stopovers.
Yeah.
The only thing is you need to be very well planned for them.
Right.
Because you might only have 2 or 3 days.
Mm-hmm.
So I think you just need to plan before it. Work out where your hotel's going to be, how you're going to get your transfer, and what you want to do.
Right.
Because the time can just get away and it would just be then a waste.
Yeah. And why do you like a stopover? Is it to break up the trip or is it to do something different on your way
do
to
something
a destination?
Different. Yeah. Do something different. And even if I've been there time and time again, there'll be something new, something that I haven't seen that I missed last time.
Yep.
So, yeah, just to see something new, maybe break up the trip a little bit, yeah, mm-hmm. but then you sort of work out what time your flights are, whether it's a morning flight, a night flight, whether you're stopping over on the way there or stopping over on the way back.
Yep. I see it as another little holiday.
Yeah, a mini holiday.
You get to visit another destination as part of your trip.
That's, holiday that's within a holiday.
Absolutely, yep. Right on.
Yeah, stretch your legs, no deep vein thrombosis.
Yeah. Now let's talk favorite destinations. Michael, where's number one for you?
Number one is Hong Kong.
Really?
I really like Hong Kong.
Yeah.
Because often it'll be, so Hong Kong will typically come when I'm doing a trip to Europe.
Yep.
It breaks the journey not quite in half, but close to.
Yeah.
You know, maybe 8 or 9 hours before, 10 hours after, 11 hours after if I'm going to Europe, and it's just got that completely cultural reversal of what you get in Europe.
Yeah.
Which, you know, the food, everything about it, the kind of the pulse of the city, everything about it is different. So it gives you that, you know, something completely, it's like, yeah, it's a completely new destination.
Yep.
Very exciting. Yep.
Yeah.
Love it.
How about you, Kerry, for you straight off the bat?
Straight off the bat for me, if I'm flying to Europe, would be either Dubai or Abu Dhabi,
okay.
Middle East.
Yeah.
I like to get the long leg out of the way first.
Right.
So the 14 hours to Dubai suits me.
Yep.
Then I can have a few days, totally different culture as well.
Yep.
I could do a side trip to Jordan or Oman from there.
Yep.
You can drive to Abu Dhabi, and then you've only got the short leg from there to Europe.
Yeah, although part of me kind of thinks, all right, well, I've already done 14 hours. I've only got like 5 to go. Maybe I should just get it over
with.
There's
that too. Yeah.
Do airlines make a difference to you guys? Or do you look at the stopover destination that you want, or do you look at the airline that you're going to fly with, and then that's just where you end up stopping? I mean, I'm flying to Vietnam in about a month's time, and I managed to just happen to get really cheap tickets through AirAsia, so I'm going to be stopping in KL. So, you know, a couple of nights in Kuala Lumpur sounds good to me, but it's not the place that I would have chosen necessarily, but that's just the way it's worked out.
Yeah, I'm kind of like you. I would go with the airline, really, before the stopover.
Yeah.
I usually fly Singapore Airlines if I can. But can I put in a plug for Colombo? Because Colombo is a really interesting one.
Okay, how do you stop over in Colombo?
Well, because as of October, Air Lanka is going to be flying into Sydney.
Right. Okay. So,
and the beauty about Colombo is that it's about halfway.
Okay.
In terms of the number of time zones you've got to cross.
Yeah.
And in terms of the distance as well. Now, I assume that from Colombo, I'm pretty sure that Air Lanka is owned these days by Emirates.
Right.
Or they've got a big interest in it anyway.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure that from Colombo, you could fly nonstop to a number of places in Europe.
Right.
So that's one worth considering.
Yeah, amazing food in Colombo.
Yeah.
I would stop there just for the food. I mean, I was sort of going through some of the destinations that I would choose for a stopover. A lot of them do seem to be food related. Because I feel like if you've only got a day or two, that's really the main thing that you're going to be doing, isn't it?
Yeah, and that's why I like Dubai, because there is a big food scene there that you wouldn't know about in old Dubai.
Yeah.
There's quite a few walking tours that you can do there. Yeah. I guess there's not a traditional cuisine there, but definitely a nice blend of different
Definitely. Michael, do you always have to pay more to get a stopover worked into your ticket?
That's the thing. Okay, so, for example, if you're flying to Europe and you've got you're flying via Singapore, for example, if you want to have a stopover, the airline will usually charge you more than if you were to fly directly, on the next flight.
Yeah, yeah, I found
What you do, okay, this is a great tip.
Mm-hmm.
What you do is you book your two sectors as different bookings.
Right.
Okay, so you make one booking from Sydney, Melbourne, whatever, Brisbane to Singapore.
Mm-hmm.
Then you make the second booking from Singapore to wherever your final destination is, and it'll cost you less.
Hey, there you go.
Often it'll cost you less than if you were to book a straight-through flight from Sydney to your final destination.
Great tip.
It's amazing. I don't know why this works, but it does.
Yeah, because I've often found that. That's sort of one of the prohibitive things, is that once you try to work a stopover into your ticket, all of a sudden the cost blows out a little
bit. Yeah. The only disadvantage to that is that you'll have to collect, because it's two separate bookings, you might not be able, on the way back, say, supposing you're planning not to have a stopover.
Yeah, you're going to need to allow yourself enough time
to collect your bag and recheck in. I'm not sure.
Guys, let's start with Singapore, because I think that's a really popular destination for Australians. And Qantas have now announced that they're going to be flying through Singapore again on their way to Europe rather than Dubai.
Yeah.
And so, Michael, obviously you've been there about a million times. Mm. What's great about it? What's good?
Oh, look, I think I would go up to Marina Bay Sands, up to the top of the hotel there, and have a cocktail in the evening.
Yeah.
And then watch the fireworks and watch kind of the lights come on all over the city. That's pretty spectacular.
Yeah.
Well worth the money.
Mm-hmm.
During the daytime, I'd have a walk around the gardens by the bay there. That's just it's a beautiful spot. You can walk inside. It's amazing the stuff that they've got in there.
Yeah.
Apart from that, probably a walk along Orchard Road, check out some of the shops, the malls, electronic stuff.
Right.
I'd also go to some of the hawker food centres.
Yeah, for sure.
Have something to eat. Definitely that.
How about you, Kerry? Have you spent a bit of time there?
Oh, Singapore?
Yeah.
I just treat that as just go straight through.
Do you really?
Yeah.
Yeah, why is that?
I do. I don't know, maybe because I've been there a few times in the past.
Yeah.
So I haven't been there recently.
Yeah.
So maybe that's something I can look at doing next time. Right, but I just treat it as just straight through.
You were saying you stay at the airport hotel in Changi, do you?
Yeah, I do sometimes. Yeah.
Why even stop over?
Yeah. Well, because, okay, so if you leave, say, Sydney, where I live, in the morning, take a morning flight out to Singapore, you get there towards the evening, okay? Then instead of flying straight on and arriving in Europe first thing in the morning, which is a drag because you can't get into your hotel.
Right.
So I will then stay overnight in the airport hotel, maybe 8 or 9 hours. And there's so many flights going out of Singapore, it's never a problem to get a flight on.
Changi Airport is the kind of airport where you could do a stopover and not leave. Couldn't you? There's so much
to
do in there.
Yeah.
There's a butterfly garden. There's an orchid garden.
Yeah, there's free movies. It's fantastic.
There's a rooftop pool and a bar.
The rooftop pool is a winner. It's an absolute winner, isn't it? It's
great. Absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, my tip for Singapore would definitely be eat and continue eating. Some of the hawker centres in Little India is amazing there. There's another one called Tiong Bahru, which has got a mix of sort of Malaysian, Chinese stuff. There's the red light district in Singapore, Gai Lan, is actually a really interesting
area. Don't know it at all.
Yeah, I'm sure. But no, there's these really great Chinese-style restaurants that do congee, these frog congee. And you kind of sit out there on the pavement with these plastic stools and tables and eat this frog congee, and people just throw the bones all over the floor. And
frog congee?
Yeah, yeah. It's
never,
delicious.
Never had it, really?
Tastes a lot better than it
tastes
sounds.
Tastes like chicken?
It tastes like chicken, yeah. That's right. No, it's really good. And I guess that's the kind of, when people picture Singapore, it kind of seems maybe a little bit staid and a little bit boring. And, you know, very clean and safe and easy, but also maybe not that exciting. But there are some really kind of interesting parts to it where you can do something a little bit different on your way to Europe, to the lovely place that you're going to end up in. Now, Kerry, let's talk about Dubai. How long would you spend in Dubai?
I would spend 2 or 3 nights in Dubai. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe timing it for one of the festivals. Mm-hmm. The food festival is great. They also have a shopping festival.
Yeah, that's like the 365 days a year.
Yeah, but I think they have big discounts during the shopping festival.
Yeah. What do you do there? What's
What would I do in Dubai? Last time I went through there a few months ago, I stayed at a new area, which is the Dubai Canal.
Mm-hmm.
It's a man-made canal.
Yeah.
So it's a totally different feel to the rest of Dubai. It's not as high-rise and as glitzy. It's closer to the airport.
Okay.
So great for a stopover.
Yeah.
Maybe only 15 minutes in a taxi.
Right.
You can do a nice walk along the canal.
Mm-hmm.
The whole area has got new hotels. There's the W there, which is sort of funky place to go to stay or have a drink on their rooftop bar. I would definitely head out to the Desert Conservation Park,
mm-hmm.
which is about an hour by taxi or Jeep out there.
Yeah.
A lot of people do the sand sort of bashing in the four-wheel drives.
Yeah.
You don't need to do that. You can do safaris. I did a nighttime safari where we went looking for scorpions at night with little blue torches and stargazing. So you wouldn't think of that with Dubai.
Yeah, yeah.
You just tend to think, you know, do a camel ride or something. But there's a lot of things in the conservation park.
Right, okay. Have you ever seen camel racing there?
I have seen the camel racing grounds, but I haven't seen a race in action.
I would love to see that. That looks amazing.
I would too, because I believe they use
jockeys.
Mechanical jockeys. Yeah. They used to have kids, but not so good anymore.
And the owners drive along next to them and use the remote control.
Wherever you go, you can actually see like the tracks out there. So it would be great just to get your guide to take you out on a race day. I've been to the Dubai Cup.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
The horse race.
Yep. Yeah, which is very interesting to think of a group of people gathered without drinking and without gambling to watch
a
race.
You just left with horse racing.
There is a lottery for the biggest race that everyone gets one ticket.
Yeah.
So a bit of a, like a Willy Wonka ticket. So everyone gets a ticket. I'm not sure how the winner is drawn.
People must look so classy by the time they're leaving as well. Like they wouldn't be carrying their high heels or ties around their head or anything like that.
But there are certain areas where you can have a drink.
Right,
there's little roped off sections where you can go and drink champagne.
Right.
But generally speaking, no gambling, no drinking, but frocking up and food and just really good atmosphere.
Yep.
Yeah.
I think Dubai is one of those places that's a little bit unfairly maligned in that it's seen as this high-end, expensive destination where you go to a big, fancy resort and you just stay there and that's it. And that's certainly something you can do.
Yeah.
And you can spend a lot of money if you want to.
A lot of money, yeah.
But there's also a whole bunch of other stuff you can do.
Yeah, and the art scene there's exploding.
Yeah.
Not big galleries, not huge galleries, but little warehouse galleries that you can find now. Because there's enough expats who have been there long enough now, so they're getting this sort of scene, art scene.
Yeah, yeah.
Just get a taxi and ask for the local, you know, sort of warehouse scene.
Yeah.
You'll get taken there. Yeah, paintings, pottery, ceramics, great cafes, great vibe.
Yeah, excellent.
So the art scene as well.
Tallest building in the world as well. Interesting.
Tallest building. I've never actually made it there.
No. I'm not the sort of person who would think, you know, you would go somewhere just to see the tallest building in the world. But it is impressive.
It is impressive.
It's amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah, when you're standing below it
But to look up at it is just as good, I think.
Yeah,
maybe.
For sure.
The
view from the top, the rest of the city looks like one of those little wooden models that you see, and it's
The view
not
of the city from the new Dubai Canal area is great as well.
Yeah.
You get a different perspective of the city.
Yeah. So let's talk Hong Kong. Obviously a place you're going to get to Europe from there or maybe to other places in Asia as well.
Yep.
Cathay Pacific flies there.
Yep. Lots of great airlines all over Asia.
Yep.
What would I do there?
Yeah. How long would you spend? What would you do?
Oh, weeks. Weeks, Ben. Weeks. Just stop over. Become the holiday.
Right. 2 days in Rome and then come home.
Yeah, forget it. Well, first of all, train to the city is very fast.
Yeah.
You know, you get that. It's about a 30-minute ride into Central.
Yep.
It's really efficient.
You get an octopus card, it's called, isn't it?
Yeah.
Their public transport card.
Yeah. Cash that into the city. And then I guess I'd walk up to Hollywood Road. I always like to walk along there. It's full of antique shops, and they're really good.
This is in the central area, is it?
It's in the central area. Yeah. It's kind of up above, getting up above Central. Full of antique shops, and they've got some really nice. I just like to press my nose against the window, basically, because it's all really expensive stuff, but really good quality Chinese antiques.
Right. Okay.
Really interesting.
Yeah. And some it's a shopping and dining town, isn't it?
Oh, very much so.
That's all there is to do. The people who live there are very passionate about those two things. Yeah. So you might as well embrace it and just do it.
Yeah. And they've got this the old police married quarters.
Oh yeah.
Up on Hollywood Road has been transformed into this sort of boutique-y kind of. There's all these little startups happening in there. Furniture designers and people, designers of all different kinds.
Yeah.
Also some great food outlets down the bottom. It's just nice to wander through there and have a look. It's not all tenanted. Actually, it wasn't last time I was there, which was a few months ago. But just interesting to have a look at what people are doing in there. Very funky.
Yeah, you know? Right.
Some of the furniture is really interesting.
Yeah.
And then as you continue along Hollywood Road, you get down to Manmo Temple, which has always got these big smoldering coils of incense happening.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's very smoky and there's people banging drums. And, and then opposite that, if you walk down, you get to, you walk down a set of steps and you come to the old, what's called the old Thieves Market.
Mm-hmm.
And that's pretty interesting. It's got a lot of stuff that comes in from China. A lot of things like memorabilia from the old Maoist days.
Oh, yeah. I've seen some of that stuff. Yeah.
And it's really... Yeah. I collect a bit of that because it's
It's very kitschy, but
very kitschy.
It's cool, yeah.
But it's interesting. All these pictures of Mao and his henchmen, you know, on the, on porcelain bowls and things like that, plates and stuff.
I had a guy, a friend of mine, who bought a Mao watch, and he said, "I think it's vintage." And I said, "I think it's definitely not. it is not as old as Mao, that's for sure."
And then I don't know. I guess I go and have a bubble tea. You know about bubble tea?
I do. Yeah, it's Taiwanese, isn't it? I think originally
Taiwanese. Yeah, I think that's right.
Yeah. What about are they tapioca balls?
Yeah,
that are
little
in there?
Tapioca balls. Have you had a curry?
No, I don't even know what
it
is.
It's a tea. It's a big thing of normal standard black tea with milk in it, quite a lot of milk in it. But then it's got these little tapioca balls in it, which you know.
I think it's mostly a visual thing, really.
It is.
And you get this big, thick straw and you sort of suck the
liquid up. So it doesn't fizz or anything?
No. They're just sort of chewy balls.
You have to be really careful with the balls, though, because if you inhale one, it goes down the wrong way. You're really in trouble.
Yeah. Now, that's a lot of fun. Hong Kong's an interesting one because it kind of has two sides to it, doesn't it? You've got the central sort of area, and then across the harbour you've got Kowloon, which has a totally different feel to
it. Yeah, absolutely. Kowloon, completely different, much more sort of... much less corporate, much more
hectic,
authentically Chinese feel to it.
That's very exciting. Pick up a few bargains,
get into the street food there in the markets.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. There's also a Peking duck place there called Spring Deer, which does these amazing duck pancakes.
Spring Deer.
So if people are ever over there, I would highly recommend looking that up.
Yeah.
And there's a place in Central called Lin Hyung, which is a dim sum restaurant. It's open almost 24 hours a day, I think, but most people go in there quite early for breakfast. And it's the style of it, basically, is that, you know how sometimes you're at dim sum and you see the trolley go past, or you see a trolley off in the distance, you think, oh, I hope they come past me. Here, you just stand up and chase the trolley. And there are certain dishes that they're really well known for, and people will just kind of cluster next to the kitchen and waiting for the trolleys to come out the door, and they bam, grab it and hand out their little ticket to get stamped. And it's kind of a riot.
It's a contact sport.
It is a contact sport, absolutely. And it's communal tables as well, so you just sort of sit down wherever you can find a space and push people out of the way to get to. There's this like sort of steamed eggy sponge cake type thing that they do.
Yeah.
It's a lot of fun. I wouldn't want to go there for a relaxing dinner every day, but it's part of the, as you know, we were saying that the great part of a stopover is that you get to try something completely different to the place that you're going in.
Right.
And that really does fit the bill. This podcast is brought to you by Intrepid Urban Adventures, day tours with a difference. Experience the city the way the locals do, from food, beer, street art, bike tours, and more. From a couple of hours to a full day, with over 500 tours in 150 cities around the world, Urban Adventures are not just your average city walking tour. Book your best stopover ever at urbanadventures.com. Another alternative to Dubai is Abu Dhabi, very close by, same country. Etihad fly in there. Kerry, you've spent a bit of time there.
Totally different to Dubai.
Mm-hmm.
Less glitz, I think.
Less
glamour. Yeah. I think they're spending their money perhaps a bit more on culture.
Right.
There's a Louvre to open up in November this year.
Yeah, right. Okay, that's amazing.
Yeah, it's been much anticipated and long awaited.
Mm-hmm.
So let's just see what that brings. But that's just an example sort of showing how, as a destination, they're looking at putting their money into culture.
And you still do have the big hotels there if that's the sort of thing you want to do. Yeah. What about the food scene? Is it on par with Dubai?
No, Dubai, way better as far as food goes.
Yeah.
Abu Dhabi as well, you can have a bit of a beach holiday there. It's a nice stopover if you just wanted to relax a bit.
Yeah. Quite an incredible mosque there, the Grand Mosque.
Grand Mosque, yeah. I've heard that it's been, TripAdvisor last year said it's the second most amazing structure or something in the world after Machu Picchu.
Wow, okay. That's a big call.
That's big call.
Yeah, it's very new, and so it doesn't have that sort of historic beauty that people might be looking for, but I've been there, and it's one of those places that really makes you sort of
step back, it's very impressive. Absolutely. And then there's the gentle side of Abu Dhabi. I have kayaked in the mangroves there,
right?
Yeah, which is an unusual experience, not what you would expect. There's the Falcon Hospital.
So what is that?
It's the place where Emirati folk that would have their falcon that might need a manicure or a pedicure.
Yeah.
It might need a little trim. It might need its wings sort of tended to.
Because they can't hunt with their falcons in the United Arab Emirates, can they?
No.
They have to take them elsewhere.
They take
Bahrain,
them elsewhere.
Is it?
Correct,
And then sometimes they get injured.
They get injured in the fighting.
Yeah.
And these falcons have their own passports.
Yeah.
Which they teach you about at the Falcon Hospital.
So they have their own aircraft?
They're allowed on the major carriers, Emirates.
Do they take on a seat? They're not.
They are allocated a seat. I'm assuming they're probably in first class, so we don't see them down the back.
If you're involved in falconry, you're probably in the pointy end.
You're probably up there. Yeah. And that's very interesting as well. They'll take you around. You can watch them being put to sleep under anaesthetic while they're getting some bit of work done, a bit of surgery done, or even just the manicure and the pedicure done.
Yeah. And it's rehabilitation there as well.
Rehabilitation as well. Yeah, it's a good place.
I'm not sure. You can. When I was there, I'm not sure if everyone gets to do this, but you can feed a quail carcass to one of the birds.
No, I missed that.
And you have
this
huge, big, thick glove on, and you hold the carcass in your glove, and it sits on your arm. And the power in that beak. When it starts eating that thing, when I put the glove on, I was thinking, this is a bit of overkill. But as soon as it started eating, I was like, I'm so
when you first go in there, there's little stools, they just reminded me of little kids at preschool sitting on their benches.
Right.
There's about four or five benches in a row, and there's a little, the little bird there with his little cap on, and his handler there with him, sort of quite worried, maybe a bit like an expectant father at a hospital.
Yeah,
sort of, worried about
his baby, really care
about them. Yeah. And another thing you can do from there is go out to an island, Banias Island.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. You can fly out there and do a bit of a safari. There's lodges out there.
Yeah.
That's
totally
a wildlife island, isn't it?
A wildlife island, with endangered Arabian oryxes and wildlife and different things there. Mm. Again, it's one of those things you just shake your head at. You think, really?
Yeah, we're going
on safari?
Okay, we've talked about European stopovers. Let's move on a little bit because obviously a lot of people flying to the US and you can fly there direct if you want to, but also, Kerry, I know one of your favourite spots is Hawaii have a little stopover.
So Hawaii, for most people, they tend to think it's Waikiki Beach.
Yeah.
But obviously there's so much more to Hawaii. Even I've been there, I don't know, many, many times.
Yeah.
And I'm still finding different parts of different islands to go to.
Right. Because Waikiki is a little bit like Hawaiian Disneyland, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely.
Main Street, USA.
Yeah. And you don't need to stay there at all, even if you just drive north out of Honolulu Airport up to the North Shore.
Right.
Whole different vibe altogether. It's a surf vibe up there.
Yeah.
Sort of chilled. And if you were driving up there, you might as well keep driving around the island and just circumnavigate the island and be back in Waikiki by sunset. So, yeah, drive around the island, stop at the shrimp stands, stop at the fruit stands, get banana bread, and that's just the main island, Oahu.
Yeah.
But use that as a stopover to perhaps the Big Island, which is actually called Hawaii Island, so that gets confusing. Or to Maui.
Yeah.
So the Big Island would be all about the volcanoes, the craters, the coffee as well. They grow good coffee. That's where the U.S. hide their good stuff.
Right, okay.
Yeah.
And Kona, do they brew a good coffee as well?
Yeah. Kona coffee, they brew a good coffee.
Yeah.
And cowboys in the highlands as well.
Really?
Yeah.
Hawaiian cowboys.
Yeah. So there's an interesting sort of culture there, going back to the early times of the cattle ranching when they brought Mexicans in.
Right, okay.
Yeah. So they call them Paniolo.
Right.
Cowboys.
Yeah. And there's a lot of natural attractions in Hawaii, obviously, isn't there? National parks.
National parks, volcanoes. Waterfalls, swimming, snorkeling, and then the whole Hawaiian culture, the whole learning about aloha. So that's why I keep going back and trying to find out more about the true spirit of aloha, which you find as soon as you get out of Waikiki
so
or out of the big
that?
Resort.
Because I thought aloha just means hello and goodbye.
No, aloha is the spirit of giving, the spirit of loving, the spirit of sharing your breath with somebody else's breath. You'd need to have a good guide that would talk you through that and explain to you.
How do you break into that?
How do you break into it? Like a lot of indigenous cultures, they're more than happy to speak about their culture if you're listening.
Mm-hmm.
Even modern resorts will have a lay-making class or a hula class, and you tend to think that's a bit touristy.
Yeah.
But as soon as you get out of the resort,
I was going to say because it can be.
Can be, plastic lays and terrible music.
Yeah.
But as soon as you get out of the big centres, particularly on the Big Island, because of the volcanoes is where perhaps the spirit of Pele, one of the gods, exists. So the Big Island is the more spiritual island.
Okay, yeah. And I guess it's because it's the population is less, it's easier to get into that.
Yeah, it is easier.
And not be, feels like so much of a tourist.
Yeah.
Now, Michael, what about Auckland? I think if you're flying LATAM, you have to stop in Auckland anyway. So there's the idea that maybe you can spend a couple of days there.
Yeah, you certainly could.
Yeah.
And look, I really like Auckland. I think it's a great city. Mm-hmm. If I were there for a couple of days, I'd definitely go out to Waiheke Island.
Oh, yeah.
Do a day trip out there.
Yep. Wineries.
Take a tour around the wineries.
Yep.
Maybe even have a swim if it's kind of, if it's the summertime. It's just a great little lifestyle island. It's got a funky little market that happens, I think, on Saturdays or...
It's 40 minutes on the ferry from downtown Auckland to Waiheke.
A nice trip to go out past all the boats and everything.
I think Auckland itself, it's a nice enough city, but it's probably not what people go to New Zealand for, and it's not what you would go to for a stopover for.
No.
It's more the sort of things that you can do around there. There's three winery areas, wine regions, I should say, within about an hour's drive. You can get out to the west coast, and there's all these black sand beaches and sea caves.
Waitangi
that you can go
Ranges,
and explore. Yeah,
beautiful rainforest out there.
Yeah. Now, guys, what about Bangkok?
Very exciting.
One of the worst airports in Asia, surely.
Yeah, the airport is horrible.
Savannah Bumi is so boring.
I don't. It's awful.
I would have a stopover just to get out of that airport and do something different. But it used to be, Bangkok used to be quite difficult to get into town, at least on a stopover, because you had to get a taxi the traffic could be insane.
Yeah.
But now there's a rail link.
Yeah, the rail link is great. Take the rail link in. Yeah, it connects with the overhead rail system. So,
What would you do in Bangkok for a couple of days?
In Bangkok, eat. A lot of street food, totally. I'd also... I like to take rides along the river and through the Klongs on the long-tail boats.
Yeah.
Just hop on one and it doesn't matter too much where they're going. Just, you've got some sort of Thai language for where you want to get back to, then you're pretty much okay.
And so cheap as well. That's the great thing, isn't it?
And
so cheap.
That's a very good point.
Those things are so exciting. Just romping along the river with spray going everywhere. And they're just crazy.
Yeah.
And there's... a little artist's village on one of the Klongs that I've been to a couple of times, and they have a puppet show there in the afternoon. It's a little bit touristy, but not that many people know about it because it's quite difficult to get to.
Yeah. What is a Klong? Can you?
A Klong? It's just a canal.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just basically a canal.
Okay.
And unfortunately, a lot of them were filled in because they were just filled in and then roads put over the top
right.
of them.
So
they're never coming back. But, you know, living along the Klongs was a whole way of life for the people there, completely different. Some places were only accessible by boat.
Yeah.
There's still a few places like that, but now obviously not so much.
Yeah. I know the Thai government is making moves to sort of clean up that riverside and get rid of a lot of those settlements there. So it might be something that people want to check out now while it's still there.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's sad what's happening to Bangkok. They're gentrifying the whole city. I think some of the street markets are disappearing.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, there's still the most popular ones in Chinatown and around Khao San Road. Mm. You can still find street markets, but there are a few that are disappearing as well. Yeah. Yep. What about you, Carrie? What would you do there?
One of the most surprising things I discovered in Bangkok is the jazz scene.
Oh, right.
I have an underground jazz scene there. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So you would just have to speak to somebody, maybe at your hotel. Some of the big hotels will have jazz on once a week.
Yeah.
But it's the small little hole-in-the-wall places that you want to somehow discover and find, which you can usually find in, like, Googling something, at, you know, Time Out, Bangkok, jazz, jazz bars. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but that was a surprising
Interesting,
thing.
Interesting, yeah. And play music played by Thai people.
Thai people?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's talk about LA, Los Angeles. I mean, it can be a stopover for a lot of people because so many flights go through there and not everyone wants to just go to LA. It's sort of the gateway to the rest of the US. Have you guys done stopovers there?
I have.
I quite like LA. Some people
don't.
Yeah,
I do too. Santa Monica, Venice Beach. Yeah, fantastic. It's just great to, you just hang out there and just watch the
Even the Sunset Strip. I love the Sunset Strip. I've got these kind of, I used to love the kind of hair metal scene from back in the 80s and early 90s, and there's all these music venues like the Viper Room and the Roxy and Rainbow Bar and Grill, where all this stuff happened, and you can stay at the Chateau Marmont. There's a lot of history there, which is kind of
there's
cool.
So many sort of touchstones that you're familiar with,
definitely,
thanks to Hollywood and popular culture. And it's like, wow, that's here. Wow, who
you
knew?
I mean, you do feel very at home there because you know those big sort of palm trees that you've seen in movie after movie after movie, and it's also recognizable.
Yeah, absolutely, and I definitely include the Getty Museum in that.
Right.
Best free museum in the world. I mean, they've got so much money. It's just ridiculous. I mean, they've just swamped the art market, and the collection of antiquities there is just mind-blowingly good.
Yeah. Venice Beach, would you spend any time there?
Definitely.
Yeah.
Hang out there, just watch people watch. Just
people watching.
It's great. Yeah. I did a stop over there where I got one of those sort of California bungalow style homes on Airbnb and just spent a couple of nights kind of hanging around that beachy area and people watching and just stretching your legs. That's what you want to do on a stopover.
It's a great scene, isn't it? I wouldn't swim. The beach is ridiculous. It's
freezing cold.
Yeah, it's horrible. No way.
There's some sort of current that comes down there that makes the water really freezing.
It looks as though it should be nice, but it's not. But the beach scene, fantastic.
Absolutely. So guys, just to wrap up, I'm going to ask you for your sort of top tip of how to make stopovers affordable, because obviously it's something that people probably worry about, spending a lot of money just for a couple of days. How would you make sure that you rein in the spending?
Well, often the airline that you're flying with, assuming that you're flying through their hub city, which you're usually going to be, then the airline will often have really good hotel deals.
Okay.
I know Singapore Airlines does in Singapore.
Mm-hmm.
You know, two of you can stay for starting from about $60 Singapore a night, which in Singapore is very cheap.
Yeah.
And that's not a bad hotel either.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's certainly one way to stretch your money.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Okay. How about you, Carrie?
Yeah, I think find a well-located hotel where it's near public transport.
Yeah.
So you're not spending all your money on taxis.
Yeah, yeah. That's
that can really blow through your budget.
Yeah.
And eat on the street.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hawker style.
Yep.
Yeah. I think you can save money on food that way.
Yeah. And my tip would be to do your research on public transport and figure out how you can get to the airport, from the airport to your hotel.
Absolutely.
And get around just on public transport. Yeah. You save a lot of money.
Yeah, that's
a
great tip.
All right, guys, Carrie, Michael, thank you very much for joining me.
Thank you.
If you'd like to read any stories by Carrie, Michael, or myself, you can find them on traveller.com.au. And we'll see you next time on Flight of Fancy.